few weeks ago, I preached a message entitled The Keys of the Kingdom. And the three keys were professing and praying and preaching in the name of Jesus. And believers should do that. We should profess the name of Jesus. We should pray in the name of Jesus. We should preach the name of Jesus. These are extremely powerful activities that you can be involved in. And our lives should demonstrate the power of God that is found in that name. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Anybody remember the name, the message, the keys of the kingdom? Remember that message? Let me see who remembers that. Oh, thank you. A few of you raised your hand. Appreciate that. Now, the question then is, are you doing those things? If you heard the message, are you applying them? Are you professing that name in your life? Are you praying in the name of Jesus? Or are you telling others about that wonderful name? When God's people do these things, we invoke the power of God into our situation. The name Jesus literally brings God's attention to your circumstance. Because Jesus completely obeyed the directives of God, we're told in Philippians 2:9 that therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. So when you call on the name of Jesus, you call on the highest name there is. You can't get any higher than Jesus. His name is wonderful. No name in all of human history will ever remotely compare to the incomparable name of Jesus. Would you say that name with me? Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. We spoke then that most beautiful, most powerful name ever uttered by human lips. Years ago, we sang a song, Oh, How I Love Jesus. How many remember singing that song? Oh, How I Love Jesus. The first verse of that says, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. Sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. It's the sweetest name anywhere. It's the greatest name anywhere. So when the name of Jesus is the most powerful name ever spoken. So when you utter that name, you're uttering the most amazing, most powerful name ever uttered by human lips. The shortest prayer ever prayed is just one word, Jesus. Anybody ever prayed that prayer? Yeah, we've been there, haven't we? Where you really don't know what to say. You're not sure what, but you know Jesus is the one who can solve and help, and so you call on him. And you know what? It's a very powerful prayer. That name is enough. Just the name is enough to invoke the attention of God Almighty. So are you ready to experience once again the amazing power of the name of Jesus? Are you ready to learn what God can do through that name? Well, there's a story in the book of Acts that kind of offers several examples of the matchless power of Jesus, that wonderful name, the name of Jesus. In Acts 16... Luke is relating an event from Paul's ministry in Philippi. And in verse 16 of Acts 16, he writes, once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. Now she's telling the truth here. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, everybody say that, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the Spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. I've always felt compassion for Silas. You know, he was just hanging out in the crowd. You know, there are several of them there, and Paul is the one who cast that demon out, but they picked Silas too. So there he goes, and they dragged him in the marketplace. And then it's verse 20 says, they brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They are in prison. They have been beaten severely. They're in pain. They're in stocks in the very bottom of the prison, and they're singing hymns to God. and it says the other prisoners were listening to them. Now, what that tells you is the other prisoners were impressed by what they were hearing coming from the depths of the prison, because someone who should be moaning and groaning in pain were actually singing praise unto God. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. Everybody's chains came loose. Say that with me. Everybody's chains came loose. You got to get that. Okay? It wasn't just Paul and Silas, but every person in prison was freed that day because they were there. Verse 27. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. See, now he understood, he knew that these two guys were the reason why the doors opened and the chains fell off. He understood that they were the source. Something about them had made this thing happen. He wasn't concerned about the other prisoners. In other words, when the other guys showed up in prison, he wasn't too worried about them being able to make spiritual things take place. But when Paul and Silas came into his prison, things changed. He saw it differently. Verse 30 says, he brought them out and asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So he'd obviously been listening to them somewhere. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this beautiful story of your salvation. We ask you, Almighty God, to open our minds, our understanding, our hearts to receive from you, that you have the power to break every chain, that every chain that exists in our lives, Lord God, can be broken by the wonderful, powerful name of Jesus. And we ask you, Lord God, that no one would leave this place without every chain broken in their lives. In your holy name we pray. Amen. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. You sang that today. Power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Christians possess a super weapon when it comes to spiritual matters. You have a super weapon. I don't know if you've ever been to the pool or to a lake or somewhere where kids come up with a soaker or a water gun or those kind of things. You will not see me show up with a little small water gun like this. If I know there's going to be a water gun fight, I'm going to have the biggest super soaker known to man. Usually it's a water hose. And if you really want to have one of those, I have a pressure washer. I can take you out. We have that capability in the name of Jesus Christ. When it comes to chains, we have a super weapon that will break every chain. It will take it all away. Every chain is destroyed by the power that is found only in the name of Jesus. Are there chains in your life? Are you bound in any way? There is one sure way out of that bondage. It is to call upon the most powerful name ever spoken. You said it earlier. It's to trust into that beautiful name of Jesus. So the question then is, do you trust in the name of Jesus? So here in this story, we find several characters, and all of them are bound. This is amazing. They're all bound. Their condition reveals a truth that will help us understand the great delivering power that the name of Jesus makes available to those who trust in that name. The first character in the story we encounter is a slave girl. She's causing a disturbance, not just within the crowd, but she's disturbing the spirits of the men of God that are in that place. And while it seems she was not bound with physical chains, she was bound with spiritual chains. You see, this young girl was bound by the chains of Satan. No one here today would deny that this woman was being manipulated by demonic forces. She was a slave to those carnal men, but more than that, she was a slave to an evil spirit. Evil spirits are a reality of life. There are many instances in the Bible regarding evil spirits. Satan and his demonic forces will actively do all they can to torment humans. When they do, it is up to the church to intervene. When evil forces come against someone and bring torment into a life, we are the ones, the church, we are the ones who have the authority to overcome those demonic forces and send them packing. It is the name of Jesus that will do that. You and I have the same authority. In fact, I will make a bold statement. If you are a believer in this room, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you follow Him, you're His disciple, you call on that name, you confess that name, then you have the same authority over demonic activity that Paul had over that demon and that slave girl. All you have to do is say, in the name of Jesus, be gone. You have that. Paul's powerful words put a stop to that demonic activity. He spoke in the name of Jesus, and the demon was defeated. Look at his words again. I want you to just see it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. Jesus predicted this behavior would take place in his followers. In Mark 16, he said, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. In my name. Later, Jesus sent his disciples out of ministry, sent them out two by two. And in Luke, it says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Jesus predicted it. His disciples experienced it. The name of Jesus breaks the chains of Satan. The next characters are the owners of the slave girl. We're not told that they're bound by evil spirits, and nothing shows that, but they are bound just the same. These men have found a way to profit from the demon-possessed girl. Rather than help her, they use her for their advantage. The total lack of concern that these men have for this young lady's plight, combined with their unmitigated greed, you can see it here, provides sure signs that these men are just as bound as that girl was. They are bound by the chains of sin. Did these men know that they were just as bound as this demon-possessed girl they were profiting from? Were they all aware that their own plight was no better than hers? You see, if you're bound by demons, your future is hell. Do you understand that? If you're bound by demons, your future is hell. These men are bound by sin. And guess what? If you are bound by sin, your future is hell. They were bound. Might not have been as obvious, but they were bound just the same. She was not the only slave in this story. See, these men were slaves too. They were slaves to sin. In fact, I can safely say that they are slaves to the sin of greed, avarice, wanting more. So much so that they will use other people to their advantage. John 8:34, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Sin will enslave you. It will take control of your life. In Lamentations, your writer declares, my sins have been bound into a yoke. They have come upon my neck, and the Lord has sapped my strength. He's handed me over to those I cannot withstand. Let me tell you something. I have encountered so many people who've said to me, Pastor, I'm going to clean up, fix up, get better, get past my sin and come to church and start living for Jesus. I said, no, you're not. I can tell you. The first time somebody said that to me, I was probably 17 or 18 years old. They come up and said, look, I'm going to get better. I'm going to clean up, fix up. Great. Look forward to seeing you when you get here. Doesn't happen. Because you do not have it within your ability without Jesus Christ. You cannot clean up, fix up, get right and come to God. You got to come to God, let Him fix you up, clean you up, and get you right. God can do that. He can change you. He can help you. You see, sin is bigger than you are. Don't give in to sin or it will completely take over your life. Sin is never satisfied. And yet, every one of us in this room, I don't care how old or how young you may be, every one of us have encountered something where we thought, oh, I'll just do it this one time. I'll just one time. And then there's a next time and a next time and a next time until finally you realize you might as well be chained up to this because you are bound by it. So does sin have you firmly in its grip? Are you struggling with something that you just can't seem to gain the victory over? Cry out to Jesus. cry out to Jesus. Call on that name. Jesus makes it clear. We told you earlier, you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. If you ask Jesus Christ to deliver you from that sin, to set you free from the bondage of sin, he declares, I will do it. Can I tell you, God wants you free from sin? Amen. If he wants you free and you ask him and you want it too, don't you know he's going to help you? He's going to set you free. He said, ask. Believe it. Confess it. The Bible lists many chains of sin. I won't take the time to list them all today because we'll be here a long, long time. But I know that the Holy Spirit of God will take care of that. If there's a sin in your life, the Holy Spirit will speak it into your heart. He'll remind you of that sin that is troubling you, that sin that is binding you and holding you. He'll whisper in your ear whatever it is that's enslaving you. Don't hide your sins. Confess them. Declare the strongholds of your life to be broken in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus breaks the chains of sin. I want every person who's had the chains of sin in their life broken, say amen. Amen. Thank God that Jesus Christ breaks the chains of sin. The next characters in the story are the heroes of the story, Paul and Silas. There are several men on this team that went to Philippi. We know that Luke is there because he's writing as if he's there, and there are others. But Paul and Silas were the two chosen to be placed in chains and put in prison. Chains of Paul and Silas, their chains were the chains of service. Whenever and wherever a believer takes a stand for the name of Jesus Christ, there are men ready and waiting to place them in chains. In this nation, like never before in my lifetime, people are ready to put chains on the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're doing everything they can to restrict the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they will not be satisfied until they have completely wiped out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what that means is they got to wipe out those who believe and preach and profess that name of Jesus Christ. I got news for you today. You can chain the messenger, but you cannot chain the message. In fact, Satan has been working on a scheme to destroy the message for thousands of years. Sinful men have rallied to the cause for generation after generation, and the effort to destroy the message of the good news, they've assaulted the people of God and even put them into jail and chains for their faith in Jesus, but the message just keeps on touching and changing hearts. They put Paul in chains and had two Roman guards on chained to him. And every 8 hours, they'd swap out the Roman guards. The reason they swapped out the guards, because he would win those two to Jesus and get them saved, and they had to bring in two more. And for a couple years, he was in chains preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine being lost without God and then being chained to Paul for 8 hours? He saw it as an opportunity. He saw it as an advantage to be able to have that man that could not leave his presence. I'm going to tell you about Jesus. Why are you chained to me? Let me tell you a few things. Let me tell you about the one I encountered. I was just like you. I was a soldier going out to destroy Christians. That's what I was doing. I was a soldier guaranteeing I could murder Christians and take them out and stop this thing. But I encountered the one that they were worshiping. I encountered Jesus Christ. He changed my life. And he brought you here to me so I could tell you about him so he can change your life too. Praise God. In fact, in Timothy, Paul wrote to his son in the gospel, he said, this is my gospel for which I'm suffering, even the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. His chains helped him to share the good news and to advance the kingdom. And Philippi is known for two people, two notable salvations. One came rather easily and the other required chains. In other words, one, the disciples didn't have a whole lot of trouble leading them to the Lord. And the other, they had to go through these chains to do that. See, Satan doesn't quite seem to get it. This principle of soul winning that comes. When you chain the messenger, the message gets more vital and much more important. When the church suffers, more souls are saved. Wow. the difficulties the church is facing in America today tells me that while some are working diligently to chain the message about Jesus by muzzling the church, the Lord will use these chains to advance his kingdom. I am sure of it. I'm as sure of it as I am sure my name is Grady. I am sure of it that God is going to take these difficult days and he's going to draw men and women and young people into the church. The name of Jesus will accomplish it. When God's people are in chains for the good news, it always increases the harvest of souls. It is so sure, sometimes you almost are tempted to pray, Lord, put us in chains so we'll see more people saved. I didn't get an amen on that one. I didn't expect it. Chains did not stop Paul and Silas. Even in the lowest part of the prison, even in chains, their feet in stocks, they still had a reason to sing and to pray. And what name do you think they prayed to? What name did they pray to? What name did they sing about? Absolutely right. Here's a beautiful, encouraging truth. Chains of service are proof of faithful service. If you're chained for the good news of Jesus Christ, to me that's almost like a badge of honor. It is a high honor to know that you are associated with those others who've gone before, who've been chained. In fact, the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11, tells us how the early church demonstrated their faith. We're told that God's people endured many forms of mistreatment for their faith. And listen, in the chapter 11 of Hebrews 36 through 38, among commended believers, we see that some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. Destitute, persecuted, and mistreated, the world was not worthy of them. Every time I read about someone in the Bible being chained or bound for their faith in Jesus Christ, they are eventually freed. The world tries to chain them up, but they always gain the victory. In our story today, Paul and Silas and all the other prisoners were set free. They weren't the only ones. They literally could have led a prison revolt and prison rebellion, made the great escape, but they didn't. They just sang the song of the psalmist. They could sing along with him, O Lord, truly I am your servant. You have freed me from my chains. When you know God has come in and done a miracle to set you free, I want you to get this. I want you to understand this. If you've been working for God and you've been bound up in your life, you got to understand that God will set you free. And he'll take those things that bind you and remove them from you. And if you ever get to that place where you know you've been set free, and I can tell you that came at a point in my life about 20-something years ago where I was working, I was doing everything I knew to do, but it just didn't seem to be working. It's like I was bumping up against things. And I said, Lord, whatever it is binding me, I need you to set me free. I began to tell Joyce and other people in my life, would you pray that God will set me free from whatever it is that's holding me back? I want to worship God without reservation. I don't want to just go, yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I want to give him everything I got. And guess what? God set me free. He set me free enough that I could get up here and preach. And God's going to set you free. God's going to set you free. God's going to set you free. And God's going to set you free. Because he sets people free. He does that so we can be all that we want to be for him. That is the power of the name of Jesus. And we understand that he's freed us. He set us free so we can preach the good news of Jesus Christ. We can still proclaim Jesus is the answer. Then guess what? We'll know we're his servants then because he set us free. You'll be rewarded. Souls will be saved. The name of Jesus breaks the chains of service. They were just singing the name of Jesus. Just singing his name and the chains fell off. Our last character today is the Philippian jailer. His chains, while not as obvious as the other chains we have discussed today, are just as binding. He was a sinner, therefore bound by the chains of sin. But he was also, like so many others, even and especially in our world today, bound by the chains of self. As soon as he realized that the prisoners are freed, he does what he thinks is best for himself and his family. He begins to take his own life. You see, he has taken an oath to his job. He has taken an oath to do this thing. He's under contract. His orders were clear. And they were so important that his very life was the insurance policy. You see, that's the deal with the Roman army. When the men who were guarding the grave, the tomb where Jesus was placed, they were there. If Jesus got away or that body was stolen, their lives would be taken. So he was committed to carry out his orders or give his life in the process. But I want you to understand, the chains of self are difficult to see. It's so easy to see the chains of Satan. You know, it's kind of hard to ignore an obnoxious demon. You know, when there's an obnoxious demon in the room, everybody knows it. You know that. And the same is true for sins as well. Some sins can be hidden, but not forever. The Bible tells us, be sure your sins will find you out. You may think you're hiding them well, but you'll find out that you don't. The chains of service are real chains, and so therefore everybody's kind of clear. When you see somebody chained up, it's pretty obvious why. But the chains of self are just an entirely different matter. They can be completely hidden. You can go for an entire lifetime unnoticed and unresolved in the chains of self. That is what makes these chains so dangerous. And that is why it's so important for you to hear this message today and understand this. God wants to set you free from the chains of self. Those self-inflicted things, whatever it is, wherever it came from, those things that hinder you, that hold you back, those chains that may have come in childhood or young adulthood or some experience that you've encountered that you shouldn't have even had to have been through, but you did, and you're chained by those things. Well, I got good news for you. Jesus breaks those chains too. People get so good at hiding their faults and failures and secret sins that they unwittingly hide the self-inflicted chains that keep them bound. And a lot of us have self-inflicted chains in our life. A lot of Christians have these issues in their life, and it keeps them bound. Anything that hinders your faith in Jesus Christ can be a chain of self. I want you to get this. It does not have to be an obvious sin. It doesn't have to be something that you read in the Bible and go, oh, lying, that's a sin. Okay, we know that. But it may be something that's holding you back. See, your job can be a chain of self. It can become so important that it's more important than your relationship with Jesus Christ. If your job is more important than your relationship with Jesus Christ, you are chained to something that is keeping you from being all you can be for God. Other people can be a chain of self. The desire to please others can be so great in some of us. In fact, there are times when it actually rises to the level of being a sin. When you try to please others so much, it becomes a sin in your life. But it can just be you wanting to please others. And it's a common malady among men. There are people who just want to please others. Everybody who's like that, be honest and raise your hand. I got mine up. Come on, be honest. See, you're pleasing me by raising your hand. See, I just reeled you right in on that. Because it's the truth. We want to please others. And sometimes in our efforts to please others, we step over boundaries we would never step over if we didn't have that desire in our life. It's like a chain of self. If you make your decisions based on what others might think of you, you are bound by a chain that you have placed on yourself. I know a lot of people who have been hurt in the past. Someone has hurt them. So they make all their decisions based on how it will hurt this person back. They spend their entire life making decisions based on how much it's going to hurt the other person. Guess what they've done? They've raised that person up into their life like God. I mean, if you're going to make your decisions based on pleasing somebody, why not make your decisions based on pleasing God and let everything else go by the wayside? Amen. Social status, how you look to the world. Financial success, how well your checkbook is. Personal comfort. All of these things are potential chains. In fact, I believe personal comfort is one of the chains that is binding the church in North America today. The Assemblies of God has 3 million, almost 4 million people in the United States. Okay? But there are 60-something million in the rest of the world. 62 or 63 million in the rest of the world. We're talking about huge exponential growth outside this nation and tough, difficult growth here in America. Why? Because the conditions in the rest of the world are not as comfortable as they are here. See, the church gets comfortable. We have our air conditioning, padded chairs, you know. Pastor's going to get you out of here by noon for sure. Maybe by 11:30 if we all say amen enough, he'll get through and get done. We're on our way and, you know. From a preacher, nonetheless. But the truth is, we're comfortable, aren't we? We're comfortable. I can't tell you how many times I've been overseas, but I can tell you every time I've gone to build a church or work in a place like that, you find people meeting under a tree. In Panama, we drove up to a cow pasture. And a church of 200 people were meeting under a tree that had enough room for about 50. And they would gather together in a cow pasture to hear about Jesus. And in 4.5 days, we built a church that would seat 300. And it was filled to overflowing with another 100 people outside on the Thursday night. You know, 4.5 days later, that church filled up. They're hungry people. No air conditioning. No doors, just openings. No windows, just openings. Hot, humid Panama, Central America. Gather, pressed in to hear about God, to hear about Jesus, to know about salvation. We got it so easy. Amen. And we're so comfortable in our churches sometimes that we just need to stay at home because we're more comfortable at home than we are at church. Are you beginning to see that you can be bound by chains of self? I want to take care of me. I'm only going to be on this planet so long. So I'm going to make sure that I'm looking out for self. If you spend the rest of your life looking out for self, you will miss God's purpose in your life. If I took care of self, I'd have stayed at home today. But I had something in my heart for you. God had birthed something in my life that I want to communicate to you. As I shared earlier, Philippi is kind of noted for two notable salvation. One was relatively easy and the other required change. See, when this ministry team with Paul and Silas and Luke and the others arrived in Philippi, they would go down outside the city to the river every day and pray. And one of those days they went down there and they encountered Lydia, a businesswoman. And she was already a worshiper of God. She already loved God. In fact, that's what she was doing there. She was also there to pray. And she just didn't know the good news about Jesus Christ. She didn't know that God had sent his son. And so they were able to share with her. And the Bible tells us in Acts 16:14 that the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. The Lord opened her heart. I mean, is that easy? Just tell them about Jesus, and she opened her heart. God opened her heart, and she heard the good news, and she received it. She and her whole household were saved, and she became very instrumental in making sure that the message was able to go forth, and she took care of them. She invited them to their home and did many good things for the church. But the Philippian jailer story reveals a much higher sacrifice on the part of Paul and Silas and those others, particularly though Paul and Silas. You see, the jailer and his family were saved, but you just got to see all the things that were necessary to get their salvation. Now, I want you to think about people you know. You probably have encountered like children. In fact, 85% of the people who are saved today got saved before they're 15 years old. So children are like that. You tell them about Jesus, they go, hey, I want that. I accept that. And they receive Jesus. It's really cool. And the Bible says unless you come as a child, you can't even see the kingdom of God. So you have to come that way. You have to be like a child. And so children are easy, but it's much more difficult to win grown-ups and adults. Lydia came after just a short conversation about Jesus. But the jailer's soul and the souls of his family required that Paul and Silas would encounter a demon-possessed girl and be haunted by this for days, and that then they would absconded by an angry mob And then they'd be taken to the magistrates and severely beaten and flogged and placed in chains and stocked in the very lowest part of the prison. And Paul and Silas had to keep a good attitude the whole time. Now this is important. Because most believers will find themselves getting in difficult situations. The first thing we do is we get mad. We have a flat tire. Flat tire. What am I doing here? But maybe there's a service attendant who's going to come change your tire for you that needs to hear about Jesus. I've been there. I've been right there where I'm thinking, I don't like this. And then I'd see it and I'd know it and I go, okay, God, I know why I'm here. I got it. You sent me over here for this very purpose. So I'm with you. I got it. See, we got to keep a good attitude. If Paul and Silas can keep a good attitude in prison, having been beaten severely, and then in chains and in stocks at the bottom of the prison, if they can still find a reason to sing and pray and praise God, you and I ought to be able to do the same thing no matter what our circumstances are. Amen. I'm preaching good today. Amen. They kept a good attitude, and that message found its mark. And the jailer and his family were added to the rolls of heaven. You see, that jailer's conversion is a testament to the love and determination of God to win a soul. God will do whatever is necessary. He'll take his people through whatever is necessary. There are natives in Central America and South America today where missionaries were sent to them and they killed the missionaries. Killed them all. And then their wives said, we're going to go take their place. And they were so moved by the love of these families that came to these people who had killed their husbands and fathers that they said, whoever this is you're serving, we want to know him. If you can forgive me, then I need to know the one that can forgive. And that nation, that area has been impacted mightily for God. We have missionaries there today in the same location bringing forth the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's because some missionaries had to go first and die to make it possible. It's worth the sacrifice. No matter where you are in life, you can rest assured of this fact. God has a team ready to reach you with the good news of Jesus Christ. No matter where your loved ones are, God will reach them. He has a team prepared and he will send whatever it takes to let them know about Jesus. He will do that. You see, the name of Jesus breaks the chains of self. And of all the chains we've talked about today, the chains of Satan, the chains of sin, the chains of service, I really believe the chains of self are some of the most binding chains and some of the most difficult chains to shake because people don't realize that all they got to do is call on the name of Jesus. In fact, most of the time the chains of self keep us so bound, we don't want to admit it to Jesus that we even got the chain, so we don't mention it to him at all. We just go through life with everybody else. We're depressed, we're down, we're downtrodden, we doubt, we go through all these things bound by self when all we have to do is say, Jesus, set me free. And he will. And you'll come out of that if you'll ask him to set you free. You must know this. You got to know today that the power of God can and will break every chain. We sang about it earlier, every chain. Every chain. Psalm 107 tells us about the many different people and places that God has gone to deliver his people. And there's a particular group that I want to share with you today. These folks have been bound. And in Psalm 107 it says, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Are you bound today? Do you want to be free? I am convinced more than ever today that chains are coming off in this place today. Chains are coming off today. Chains are coming off today. someone is going to be set free today from something in their life that they've been bound by. They may not even have realized it. You might have been living in this life thinking this is just your lot in life. But I'm here to tell you, God has planned this moment in time so that you could be set free, so the chains that bind you can be removed in Jesus' name. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes?